This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, Republican representing the Lone Star State's 11th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts on a bill passed Thursday by the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives that essentially federalizes the student loan program in this country. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's great to be on this afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Explain exactly for our listeners what this legislation does.
It puts the final knife in the back of the private-public partnership that had been the FEEL program. It was the student loan program where private entities made the loans with government backing and some government support, but the private sector took the credit risks and those kinds of things. The bulk of the lending had been done through that. It's long been the goal of the left, led by George Miller, to federalize that, nationalize it, and so they've worked diligently to unwind those successful programs and bring it all now under the federal umbrella. It will increase costs by some estimates of $50 billion over 10 years. You first off have to ask your question, should the federal government be in the student lending business to begin with? What's the constitutional nexus to that program first off? And so you got several hurdles to come across. Pretty much a party-line vote. Republicans, most of us, voted against it, and Democrats, most voted for it. There were, at last count I saw, there were four Republicans who voted for it and four Democrats who voted against it. So it's pretty much a party-line vote on nationalizing the student lending for all college education.
Congressman, you mentioned the huge cost increases that could come along with this. Why would that be the case?
Well, the federal government would now be responsible for the credit losses, and that's not the case now in some instances. So, and you know, if you think the federal government is efficient at making lending decisions, more efficient than, say, some of the other federal programs that make the news from time to time, I don't want to pick on anyone in particular, but quite frankly, the federal government doesn't do these kinds of things very well. Creates huge bureaucracies. This thing creates another 10 or 12 new programs and new concepts that will bloat the cost and affect the taxpayer, and I believe in a negative way.
So basically, for any student that wants to be able to pay for college but can't on their own, if they can't raise the scholarship money through their school that they're attending or some other private source, they have to go to the government?
Well, that's right. Instead of going to private sources, private lenders who ran the programs or participated in it, they will now be required to, their only only avenue for student loans, student guaranteed loans, will be through the federal government. And we, on our side of the aisle, just don't believe that's a good use of taxpayer dollars and not a good program to nationalize.
You mentioned George Miller, of course, of California. He's the chairman of the Education and Labor Committee. And, Congressman, what was the rationale for this? Why do they believe that this would be a better avenue?
Well, they just believe that this is an inherently government function to loan money to students and to loan money to families. They believe that the federal government will always trump the private sector and being able to be more compassionate, more understanding, more thoughtful, more efficient than the private sector, whose hard-hearted, cold-blooded mission is simply to make money and profit. So it's a philosophical difference. They're not bad people as a result of it. They're just, in my view, misguided. That they sincerely believe that the federal government stands ready to take care of you cradle to grave, and this is an area that they've long sought to expand the reach of the federal government into a private sector. And so they've been, you know, one of the advantages you have when you have a large majority in the House, a large majority in the Senate, and the White House, you get to do things that you've wanted to do for a long, long time. That when it was a House divided, where you split up among the two parties, split up the powers, they weren't able to do. And this is one of those public policy areas that was on their goal, has been on their short list for a long, long time, and they are now in a position to make this happen. And you see the power that did it this afternoon.
Congressman, will there be more money, less money available as a result of this?
Well, every nickel of the new money, the new requirements, will have to be borrowed from somebody. You put this new requirements and new spending against a backdrop of some $62 trillion. That's with a T, trillion dollars of unfunded promises that we've made to each other, promises in Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and those kinds of things that we simply cannot afford. And whether it's this $50 billion over 10 years or the $1 trillion, the $1 to $5 trillion that the House bill on health care talks about, or the $800 billion that the Senate talks about, those are all borrowed dollars, and it's basically taking money from future generations that they would have should have available to them to deal with their problems. Every nickel that we borrow means that that interest on that debt will be paid in perpetuity. We're not going to pay the debt off. We're not going to run surpluses the way we should, and so as we irresponsibly borrow more money, debt will accrue interest forever, and we'll continue to pay that interest in order for us to be able to continue to borrow more money. So it's a vicious cycle. It is an intergenerational unfairness of the first order, and we simply have to stop it. There's lots of blame around. It's not a fully Democratic issue. It's not a fully Republican issue. The seeds for this wreck have been laid over a long period of time. Some of us see that we ought to reap those harvests now and stop it. But it's once you've been become addicted to debt the way this federal government has become addicted, then it's hard to wean yourself off of it.
Congressman, an obvious addition to the debt that's accruing here. What about potential impact on jobs? Is there any perceivable impact on jobs here?
Sure. We think there are about 30,000 people who are currently engaged in the private sector delivery of these loans. And, of course, all of those jobs will automatically go away. And the lenders who have been in that business will trim their workforces back. It's unclear whether or not we add that 30,000 to the federal government's band of brothers to fight this, to deliver these services. The cynics among us would say you'll probably add more than 30,000 jobs to the federal payroll in order to meet the demand for student lending and to process these loans on a timely basis, because semesters start whether or not kids have the money yet to pay for them, it's tuition money ready to go or not. So federal government will be in the role now of bulking up its delivery system. So some of those jobs will be added, taken out of the private sector where wealth is created, and put into the public sector where it is a constant drain on the taxpayers of this country.
Congressman, another major debate. Thanks so much for your time today.
Greg, it's been good to be with you, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
As always, sir. Texas Congressman Mike Conaway represents the 11th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for World Net Daily.